Well, it's so wonderful to be in the house of the Lord tonight, to be ministered to by the children, by the young of the house. What an honor to stand and worship with them tonight. Acts 16, beginning at verse 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city." Holy troublemakers. "And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. It's been said that nothing good happens after midnight. Paul and Silas, two men doing the Lord's work. A slave girl had just been set free from demonic possession, oppression, and just like that, Satan's coming at them with everything in his arsenal. Satan stirs things up. He inflames this crowd against Paul and Silas, and suddenly they're in a terrible crisis. On their way to prayer. Now here they are in a terrible crisis. These men stripped and beaten, thrown in prison, given over to a jailer, put into the inner prison, their feet fastened in stocks. The Message paraphrase reads, the judges went along with the mob, had Paul and Silas's clothes ripped off, and ordered a public beating. After beating them black and blue, they threw them into jail, telling the jailkeeper to put them under heavy guard, so there would be no chance of escape. He did just that. Threw them into the maximum security cell in the jail and clamped leg irons on them. Many of us know the story. We know the history. It's a familiar text. We know how it plays out. We know the type of men Paul and Silas were. And so perhaps a reminder tonight and an encouragement to persist. Midnight prayers, keep praying. Midnight singers, keep singing. Listen, when we pray and when we sing, we strengthen ourselves spiritually. And spiritual strength affects the physical. In those moments and in those times when we find ourselves beaten, bound there in the darkness, we need to pray. And we need to sing. The enemy of our souls knows the power of prayer. The enemy knows the power of song. You know, he should have put a gag in the mouth of these men. But the truth is, he can't take prayer from us. And he can't take praise from us. This is something we choose to let go of. Not downplaying midnight. Midnight was not easy for these men. Clothes ripped off and ordered a public beating. Beat black and blue, stripes more than a pattern on prisoners. Thrown into jail, put under heavy guard so there'd be no chance of escape. Thrown into the maximum security cell in the jail, legs clamped in irons. There they are. And the clock's ticking. You know, I don't know about you, but I want to respond like Paul and Silas to the enemy's attack. I want to pray and sing like these men there in the jailhouse. I know these men were praying and how powerful prayer is. But tonight, I want to focus on the song. We need to sing at midnight, and we need midnight singers. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know these men were singing to themselves. You know these men were singing to one another, and here, unified in song, united in song, the voice reads, when you are filled with the Spirit, you are empowered to speak to each other in the soulful words of pious songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, to sing and make music with your hearts attuned to God. I love the NLV. Tell of your joy to each other by singing the songs of David and church songs. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And even here, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I don't know about you tonight, but I've needed midnight singers in my midnight hour. And I know the brothers and sisters in the same place with me have needed my songs. Psalm 95, verses 1 to 4, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand, that is in his possession, are the deep places of the earth. A deep place. This inner prison. Were these men fueled by a former reality and happening? 2 Chronicles 20, verses 21 and 22. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were singing, saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. You know, even tonight, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. These men, I'm sure they would have been dancing. Paul and Silas, I'm sure they would have been dancing if their feet weren't in stocks. People of God, sing for your encouragement. Sing for your strength and your freedom. Sing for your brothers and sisters, encouragement, strength, and freedom. In the midst of this prison, these men entered into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And so I want to remind us this evening that the Lord deserves midnight singers. He's worthy of praise in every situation, every circumstance, every trial, every environment. Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness. Psalm 104:33, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Psalm 59:16, but I will sing of your power, yes. I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. 12 midnight and a new day. I wonder if Paul and Silas remembered three boys thrown in the fire. Daniel 3. Verses 24 and 25, the Wycliffe Bible. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose hastily and said to his best men, "Did we not send three fettered men into the midst of the fire?" And they answered the king and said, "Truly we did, O king." The king answered and said, "Lo, I see four men unbound and going in the midst of the fire, and nothing of corruption is in them. And the likeness of the fourth is like the Son of God." The NABRE, they walked about in the flames singing to God and blessing the Lord. Azariah, that is Abednego, stood up in the midst of the fire and prayed aloud. "Blessed are you and praiseworthy, O Lord, the God of our ancestors, and glorious forever is your name. For you are just in all you have done. All your deeds are faultless, all your ways right." Paul and Silas, these men knew that the Lord was deserving of praise always. No matter what they were facing, no matter what they were going through, the Lord was always worthy of praise. Remember the man Job? Wow, what a process. Job 1:21. "Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The Amplified Bible, "Naked without possessions came I into this world from my mother's womb, and naked without possessions shall I depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed, praised and magnified in worship be the name of the Lord." The Lord is looking for midnight singers. And the Lord responds to midnight songs. We read in the text that the Lord sent an earthquake. The New King James Version, "Suddenly there was a great earthquake." Might that encourage us to sing? The Message, along about midnight, Paul and Silas were at prayer and singing a robust hymn to God. The other prisoners couldn't believe their ears. Then, without warning, a huge earthquake. The jailhouse tottered. Every door flew open. All the prisoners were loose. There is power in praise and power in song. We're not just gathered in the houses of the Lord to sing some cute lyrics, have a little time of, you know, sing along and sing song, and that's all this is. May God open the eyes of our understanding tonight. May we realize and recognize that there is power in song. You know, prisoners need midnight singers. Prisoners need midnight songs. Believe it or not, prisoners are listening. You know, when we come in here, this is not a prison house, but when we come in here on a Sunday or anytime we gather to sing songs to God, prisoners, the lost, the unsaved are listening. And our praise is powerful. Our song, powerful. They're listening. What is it about this God of theirs that has them singing and shouting and lifting their hands and dancing? It's because he's worthy. Because he's holy, he's awesome. And a heart that's in love with him has to praise. Prisoners are listening. I know the power of praise and worship, what praise and worship can usher in, how the Lord responds to praise and worship, how the Lord moves at the sound of praise and worship, how the Lord shakes jailhouses, how the Lord breaks open prison doors, how the Lord takes the chains off prisoners, even those that do not know him yet, those that have not yet surrendered. Sing for the freedom of others. Come into this house and sing for the freedom of others. First and foremost, we know we're singing to bless our Savior because he's so awesome, he's so worthy of our praise. But sing for the freedom of others. Nothing good happens after midnight. Well, if you're praying and singing, it does. Our action at midnight, even in our dark hour, our hour of affliction, our hour of imprisonment, our hour of trial, can bring about the freedom of others. You know, it can even bring about the salvation of others. And even beyond that, those that were not at the scene but hear of the hand of the Lord. Reading from the Message, startled from sleep, the jailer saw the doors swinging loose on their hinges. Assuming that all the prisoners had escaped, he pulled out his sword and was about to do himself in, figuring he was as good as dead anyway, when Paul stopped him. "Don't do that. We're all still here. Nobody's run away." The jailer got a torch and ran inside. Badly shaken, he collapsed in front of Paul and Silas. He led them out of the jail and asked, "Sirs, what do I have to do to be saved? To really live?" They said, "Put your entire trust in the Master Jesus. Then you'll live as you were meant to live, and everyone in your house included." They went on to spell out in detail the story of the Master. The entire family got in on this part. They never did get to bed that night. The jailer made them feel at home, dressed their wounds, and then, you know, he couldn't wait till morning. Was baptized, he and everyone in his family. There in his home, he had food set out for a festival meal. It was a night to remember. He and his entire family had put their trust in God. Everyone in the house was in on the celebration. Sing for the freedom of others, for the salvation of others. What a night to remember. You know, I thank God for midnight singers. We need some midnight singers. midnight hour. For there are midnight hours, and this is a midnight hour. You know, people of God, there are so many prisoners, chained, caged, imprisoned, not free. There are so many jailer families. And if I find myself in chains, will I be singing at midnight? That freedom might come, that salvation might come. You know, Paul and Silas, they didn't know what was going to happen. We don't read that they had this word from the Lord, this rhema that, you know, get into the inner prison. Start praying and singing. I'm going to send an earthquake. You see, they didn't know what was going to happen. They just knew what was right and fitting concerning them, and that prayer and praise were perfectly fit for the inner prison. You know, if I could tell you, you know, next Sunday, let's come in here and let's really go for it. 45 minutes and God's going to send an earthquake. News would spread. You'd be telling everybody all week. This crazy guy said there's going to be an earthquake next Sunday morning. God can do it. And it might not look just like that, but God can do it. As we give ourselves to this holy pattern. Song. These men knew the power of their God. They knew he had responded to song in the past. And yet, even if he didn't, he was worthy of prison songs. Borrowing the words and here application. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. But if not, let it be known to you, we will worship the Lord our God. I share these words tonight, the words of David Wilkerson. He said, if you walk in the Spirit, you will constantly be harassed by demonic powers. But you do not have to be intimidated by any demon power anywhere at any time. Paul was continually harassed by demonic powers. He was preaching on the Isle of Paphos when demons attempted to interfere. A false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Bar-Jesus means son of Jesus or angel of light. This was the devil standing up against Paul. But the Holy Ghost welled up inside of the apostle. Then Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon me, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, brought down all the powers of darkness. It is not enough to be grieved by the attempts of Satan to harass you. In Acts 16, Paul was grieved, meaning disturbed, troubled. He allowed it for many days, but the Spirit of God welled up in Paul, and he said to the demon power, that's it. That's enough. In the name of Jesus, be gone. Beloved, we take too much from the devil. There comes a time when we too must stand up in the power of the Holy Ghost and say, enough. That's it. I command you in Jesus' name to go. When you take authority and command devils to flee, Satan will come at you with everything in his arsenal. Just after Paul had cast the demons out of the possessed girl in Acts 16, Satan started stirring things up. He inflamed the crowd against Paul and Silas, and suddenly they were in a terrible crisis. The city magistrates had them whipped and cast into prison. And with every stripe on their backs, I can hear the devil saying, So you think you've won the victory? You think you're going to cast out my demons and take authority over me? The devil didn't seem to know that the more you whip up a servant of God who walks in the Spirit, the more praise you whip up from him. If you throw him in a crisis, tie him up with problems and troubles, he'll sing, shout, and worship. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. He continues, if we are to walk in the Spirit, then we must believe God for supernatural deliverance from every bondage of Satan. It does not matter if God has to create an earthquake to do it. That is exactly what he did for Paul. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Satan will try to bring upon you the most dreadful temptation or trial you've ever faced. He wants you to get bogged down in guilt, condemnation, self-examination. Dear saint, you have to arise in the Spirit and get your eyes off your circumstances and bondage. Don't try to figure it all out. Start praising, singing, and trusting God, and he'll take care of your deliverance. You know, I believe it with all my heart. Bar Jesus. Is that what they wanted? To bar Jesus, even though you can't put him behind bars? But at least his message and his messengers would be put away and silenced? Silence the message and the troubling of the city. But at midnight, you know, if not for jail time, would those prisoners ever had an encounter like that? If not for jail time, Paul and Silas, would a jailer have surrendered his life to Jesus? If not for jail time, would this jailer not have taken them home and this family? Would this family have got saved and water baptized if not for jail time? You know, I do want to say this tonight, that sometimes the prison term is necessary. Sometimes it's part of the plan of the Lord, part of the road to promise, necessary for the fulfillment of dreams, and sometimes the term must be served. And yet even there, God is with us, and he will see us through. His hand upon us, his favor, our portion. Genesis 39, verses 19 to 23. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. What a miracle. The hand of God. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Let's have the worship ministry come tonight. The NLT, he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. You know, I'm positive that Joseph was singing prison songs. Not woe is me songs. Not singing the blues. The high praises of the Lord in his mouth. Songs of victory, songs of triumph. You know, people of God, it might be that the Lord will have us put in charge of other prisoners. If so, how will we carry ourselves? How will we serve the term of midnight hour? Let's keep singing. You say, well, you know, there are times I just really don't feel like singing. Well, you know, there are times we need to apply force to self and perhaps to others. Charles Wesley, the afternoon I spent with my friends in mutual exhortation to wait patiently for the Lord in prayer and reading. At night, my brother came, exceedingly heavy. I forced him, as he had often forced me, to sing a hymn to Christ, and almost thought he would come while we were singing. Assured he would come quickly. Listen, it is said the singing broke through the heaviness for Charles and his brother John. They were almost expecting Christ to return during their joyous and triumphant song. Sometimes we need to apply force, people. Wesley, another account. My deadness continued, and the next day increased. I rose exceedingly heavy and averse to prayer, so that I almost resolved not to go to church. I returned home and lay down with the same load upon me. They sang, but I had no heart to join, much less in public prayers. I was very averse to coming among them, but I forced myself to, and spent 2 or 3 hours in singing, reading, and prayers. This exercise a little revived me, and I found myself much assisted to pray. You know, sometimes it takes more than just a song. Further words. Read prayers at Newsgate and preached the law and then the gospel. Sang invitation to sinners. All were affected. I read this account, and should it be true, Mr. Henry met me with threats. I began singing. I shall for fear of feeble man. Shall I for fear of feeble man the spirit's course in me restrain? He ran about raving like a madman and quickly got some men for his purpose who laid hold of me. Broke out into singing with Thompson Maxfield, and let them carry me whither they would. The account is that apparently when Charles is confronted by this man, he begins to sing. The man gathers a crowd, the crowd takes hold of Charles, and Charles and the friend just ramp up their singing. Carried by a mob, then Charles preached the gospel to hundreds of hearers. Oh yes, the fire was kindled while we were singing. Bear we witness unto thee, thou thy light, to all dost give, that the world through it may see their Savior and believe. One cried out, it is the truth. Several found the same constraint of the all-loving Spirit. We bless the God and Savior of all men who never leaves himself without witness. Acts 16. Man, what a witness he left himself in that midnight hour. Let's stand tonight. Thank you, Lord.